Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Few people are as attuned to nature as ornithologist Sean Ronan. From a childhood spent in Cork's woodlands to a groundbreaking project documenting Ireland's birdsong, Sean's life has been one of deep connection to the natural world. But his journey was not without its challenges, from battling a near-fatal illness to navigating a late autism diagnosis. So how do these experiences shape his path, and what role does nature play in healing and belonging? Well, he's with me now to talk about his life, his work, his new book, which is called Nature Boy, A Journey of Birdsong and Belonging. Sean Ronan, good morning and welcome.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having
me. Now, I'm going to read out a comment that's already come in from a listener.
Oh, I see it.
And it goes like this. After reading Sean Ronan's book, I feel like we could be friends. He was so open, honest, and shared his love for nature so beautifully in the book. His personal story and his stories about nature resonated with me a lot. He's a gift. I'm rewilding a field in Galway, and it's great to know there are others like me out there. That's from Alan.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we can just conclude the interview. That says it all.
Yeah.
I want to start with your beginnings, though, because, yeah. I mean, you weren't living in like West Cork in some isolation. You're a Cork city boy, more or less.
Yeah. I mean, I was born in the city, and I was raised in Cove. That's where my family are all from. So I was very lucky that I had Kuskinny Nature Reserve at my doorstep. And, you know, when I was very young, I was a restless kid, and my parents knew this, and they knew the solution to this too, and that was an escape to nature. So my mother bought me all the bird books and the binoculars, and my father would bring me down in the pram. And what he would do is he would imitate the sounds of the different birds and the animals of the reserve. And when I was old enough to speak, I would start to name the sounds that he was imitating. So it was always meant to be for me.
And that little Bible that you kept with you as a young fellow, the Collins Book of Birds.
Yeah. This is the Bible. So this is a wonderful book. So for anyone who is into birds in Ireland or would like to know more, this is an incredible book. It's illustrated by, you know, one of the best bird illustrators in Europe, if not the world, our own Killian Mullarney. And it's just a true masterpiece. So I had two copies. One lived in the toilet and one roved around the house with me.
Now, tell me about your school days, because you were not the most brilliant of students, and there was a class that you would have preferred, a teacher you'd prefer to have had rather than the one you were afflicted with.
Yeah, I mean, academically I did very well. It's just that my mind wasn't meant to be kind of boxed into a room every day and kind of sitting in the same seat every day. I was a wanderer. I still am, both mentally and physically. And I was a messer, you know. I guess I didn't really fit in. And I tried to fit in by making people laugh and getting myself in trouble. And because of this, then I wasn't put into the nature class, which consisted of the most well-behaved students. And actually, I met that teacher.
Mr. McSweeney.
I met him, was it yesterday, for the first time since then. And he had read the book. It was lovely. And I said, I wish I was in your class, Mr. McSweeney. He says, I wish you were too. He's a lovely man. Great.
He would have been able to take some credit for your endeavours, but...
Ah, he's still inspired
alas,
me.
No. You went to college. What did you study?
Yeah, so I studied a degree in zoology in UCC. I did a master's in marine biology. Realised that a career in the ocean wasn't going to work out. And then I did another master's in ecological impact assessment. So they all focus on birds in one way or another then.
Now, you had a brush with mortality.
Yep.
After your college exams.
That's right.
What happened?
Yeah. For the first year of college, I was 17, so I couldn't really go out with my friends. But I turned 18 over the exam period, and at the end of the exams, I was celebrating, and I went out, and sure, look, I overdid it like many teenagers do at times, and I thought I had a hangover, and this hangover became worse and worse and worse to the point where...
And this was your first exercise and drinking, so you didn't know what a real hangover might be and how quickly it might pass.
And so like that was it. Like and I was when I got home then I became more and more sickly and I was getting up to go to the toilet and I was picking myself off the ground 10-20 minutes later to the point where, you know, I knocked my teeth out, I split my lips and then I became delirious and a doctor came and I thought she was my aunt and I was congratulating her and I was asking people if I'd been in a car crash and I didn't even have a theory test in my name. So my parents knew there was something seriously wrong. An ambulance came and took me then. Everything was failing. My heart, all my organs. They knew I had septicemia, but they didn't know the cause of it. And I was very lucky. You know, all my parents, all my close family members were called in to say goodbye to me. And I had these moments of lucidity, awareness. And I knew, because I overheard them, I knew that they were coming in to say goodbye to me. And it shocked me to my core. And I kind of, I realised then that this sleepy feeling I was having, you know, wasn't sleep. It was death that was creeping up on me. And so I kind of had to sit up and grimace through. It was excruciating. The only way I could describe it is, you remember when you were a kid in the playground and your fingers were icy cold and you fall and you hit those fingers off the ground, that pain where you have to hold your breath until it subsides, like that, but coursing through your whole body and in and out of consciousness. But I was lucky. Professor Mary Horgan came in on her day off and she was working my bloods upstairs and she got a diagnosis in the very last minute just before I passed. And that was it. It changed my life. And I said that from that moment on, I was going to give my all to everything that was important.
The diagnosis was meningitis.
It was meningitis type Y, which is a fairly rare, I think that strain originates in somewhere in Asia. So it was one of very few cases in Ireland at the time. I was very, very lucky not only to survive, but to come away with all my limbs as well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, because so many people, if they do get through it, are left maimed by the process.
Yeah, that's right.
But you say you're a different person. Was that?
I was.
Because you kind of looked back at how close you came to not being here.
Yeah, it made me realise how precious life is. You know, you always hear of people, you know, dying from tragic circumstances, but you always think that that's something that happens to another person. You know, but when something like that happens to you, when you come that close, you realise that, you know, anything can happen at any moment. And I thought to myself, I was very inwards and I was very shy. And I didn't really believe in myself. And although it didn't cure all of that, it made me say to myself, you know, life is there for living. And I grabbed it by the horns and I thought that.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip hop could be hop hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
A life of nature and ornithology is what I wanted, and I'm going to give it everything. I'm going to put my everything into that. And
how versed were you at this stage in the birds of Ireland and their song? Were you really?
Yeah, I would have
on top of all of that.
At that point, I would have already been able to identify every of the regularly occurring birds in Ireland. I wouldn't have been as sharp as I. Now, and it's a work in progress. Like this project made me realize, like, the more you know, and I this applies to any topic, I'd imagine, the more you know, the more you realize how little you know, you know.
But I suppose you have to try and know everything that should be there to spot something
that's
different,
right. that suddenly turns up. But it's all repetition and exposure to these things. I'm always listening. When I'm out there and I'm speaking to people, my attention is only 30% theirs. The other 70% is in tune and open and listening to the birds and everything around me, and it gets me into a lot of trouble. Sometimes I'm, you know, I'll go blank and I'm not there anymore. I'm with the birds, literally.
Now, talk to me about meeting Alba, because this is an extraordinary, life-changing event, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it might not have happened.
Yeah, I think Alba is the most important chapter of my life, even more poignant than the meningitis itself. And don't get me wrong, my parents really nurtured me and I'm very grateful to them. But Alba, you know, she saw another side to me and she saved me from myself, my own doubts and my own kind of...
But tell me how you met her.
Yeah, so we were both working in a bar in Cork City. I had come home from a stint in England and I was saving for my second master's, working during the master's. And Alba had given up everything back in Barcelona because a friend of hers died suddenly. And she said, I want to travel and I want to work for humanitarian NGOs. Alba loves helping people. And so I'm going to go to Ireland first to learn English before I travel to India and do that. So she was learning English in the bar and I was paying my way for my master's. And there was a lovely lady, Alison, she was the cleaning lady, and she knew I was shy. And she said, Sean, I'm going to find you a lovely lady one of these days. And I would say, okay, Alison, yeah, yeah. And then she came down to me and she said, Sean, I have to find you a lovely Catalan woman. And I thought, oh God, I thought she was winding me up. And sure, look, Alba came down then and I was a nervous wreck. I didn't know where to look. I didn't know what to say. I was spilling her tea over the counter and I bailed out. And then Alba followed up on Facebook and started commenting on my pictures. And I thought, isn't she a lovely, lovely woman? I thought she was being friendly with me until, in very Mediterranean fashion, she said, oh my God, Sean, can you not see that I'm flirting with you? And she asked me out on a date and that was it. We were inseparable. And, you know, if it wasn't for Alba, there'd be no book, there'd be no film, there'd be no anything. She pushed me into the career that I was meant to be in.
Now your courtship, a bit odd. I mean, teaching Alba to sniff otter poo.
That's right. And we only did it there again the other day.
What does it smell like?
Tell you what, otter poo smells like jasmine. Jasmine with a slight hint of fish. It's quite pleasant, actually. It won't kill you, don't worry. And so, like, if you look on steps that come up from the sea, like the water's edge in Cove now, there's big old limestone steps. They mark it at the top. They'll mark it there. So this is a marking point for other otters that are passing to say that, look, I'm here. This is my territory. But you can take those otter, they're called sprains, actually. You can take them and you can wash them to get the biological matter out of them and you end up with the bleached bones. And with these bleached bones, then you can figure out what it was eating, what size the prey was. There's so much information you can get from it. And at this point, when I met Alba, I was obsessed with otters. And while most people were going out on lovely dates to fancy restaurants in new cities, we were out whiffing otter poo on the steps.
No, there's so much in the book and it's so honest and so direct. The narrative, all written by you, no ghostwriter or anything like that.
I did have some wonderful editors, by the way, that I must shout out to Catherine Goff and Kira Dourley and there's a few others. I'm so bad with names, so I'm sorry if I forgot.
But there's so much in it that I'm going to just cut to different episodes in the book. Uh-huh. For example, you had to live with Alba's parents for a while in a room.
Right.
How difficult was that? You didn't have a word of Catalan.
No. So I studied Spanish in school, and I was never very good with human languages. Geez, I nearly failed Irish. Spanish, I just about got by. And for me, when we moved to Barcelona, I had three new languages to take on board. Spanish, more importantly, Catalan, and bird language. And I focus on bird. I became fluent in Catalan bird language in 6 months. And I still only know about 10 sentences in Catalan.
So you're actually able to hear the birds, the unique birds to Catalonia.
Yeah, so I had to learn. There are other species down there that we wouldn't have. So I had to become familiar with those. And there's different dialects of the species that we do have and so on. Like, but look, I can get by. I have basic Spanish now. It's a bit better. And there's also universal sign gestures, you know. Yeah.
In the book, we talk about a diagnosis that you got late in life of Asperger's.
That's right.
And that was down to Alba as well.
It was, yeah. This is why I say, like, Alba is my rock. Like, she's done so much for me, really. I really mean that. And so, like, Alba can't get enough of going back to college. So I think she has three masters now. So one of the masters she did was in education. And she specialised in, it used to be called Asperger's, but I think the correct term now, not the, you know, it's ASD, Autism Spectrum Disorder. So she did a speciality in that for a thesis, and there were people in from the society, the Catalan Society of Asperger's, and she came back to me and she said, Sean, we had a visit from these people today and it sounded like they were literally describing you as a person. So I took an online test, passed it with flying colours.
I prefer to do things on my own rather than with others. Strongly agree. Mm-hmm. I notice patterns in things all the time. Strongly agree.
Yeah.
When I become interested in something, my interest is often intense, strong and deep. Strongly agree. Mm-hmm. I often notice small sounds when others do not. Strongly. And it goes on.
Yeah.
You ticked every box.
Yeah, as I said, I passed it with flying colours. And so I went back then and I did the official diagnosis. And people often ask me, like, why? Like, why do you need that? And to me, it was kind of a self-forgiving process and an understanding process, because this is a part of who I am. And so I wanted to understand it. So it allowed me to harness the many the many positives that come with this mind frame, I'd call it, rather, well, not a mind frame, it's the way you're wired, rather than a disability, at least in my sense. Allowed me to harness those, and the negatives allowed me to understand those and to nurture them and to kind of help them flow a little bit better. Yeah, and so it was one of the greatest moments of my life, getting that diagnosis.
Well, Sean, I have to say, this book is heartwarming. It'll do you good to read the book.
Yeah,
I've really, really enjoyed it. You want to say something?
I just want to say two things, if it's time to finish. First of all, if you'd like to follow me on my journey, you can get me on Instagram at Irish Wildlife Sounds. Second of all, this book, Nature Boy, it's been shortlisted now for Biography of the Year for the An Post Irish Book Awards. And if you believe in, you know, my message and what I have to say, I'd really appreciate it if you voted for me. It's open to public vote. This book for me is it's not about fame. It's not about money. It's about trying to make a positive change in the world, that a world of nature that means so much to me. And that's really just what I have to say.
You have my vote.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
Nature Boy, it's called A Journey of Birdsong and Belonging, published by Hachette Books, and its author, Sean Ronayne. Thank you very much, Sean, for joining us in studio this morning.
Thanks for having me.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.